Are you a witness? If you know the Lord, you're supposed to be one. Got a passage of scripture I want to share this morning, found in Ephesians in chapter 1 and 2. There's not going to be any notes on the board or anything. It's just some truth. The message is the truth of Easter. And, you know, Easter is just like all the Christian holidays, Christmas and Easter and things like that. It gets kind of commercialized. It gets kind of, the real meaning gets kind of overwhelmed. We have Paul in the book of Ephesians writing, I pray, we see Paul's prayer, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have that inheritance. That is something that is yours, and it can't be taken from you. And he's praying that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. And so many times we forget what Jesus did. I mean, we say we're Christians and we believe and we may read our Bible and come to church and perform many services for God, for Jesus in our daily walk. But the prayer is that we would have wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him. In knowledge of God. You want to know what God thinks? You want to know who God is? You get in His Word, and then you let His Spirit reveal Himself to you in ways that could not be done otherwise. That's what Jesus brought when He brought salvation, because we got the Holy Spirit, and that enables us to understand God. It enables us to be able to have relationship with God. And we don't have to go through any other person than Jesus Christ. He was the one way. In fact, Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. It's only through Christ that we can have relationship with the Father. And he prays that the perception of our mind would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints. And see, the inheritance doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. The inheritance starts the moment you accept Christ your Savior. Now you have riches that you never had before. You have relationship. You have knowledge. You can have wisdom. By getting in His Word, your life will change. The old has passed away and you're a new creation. That's part of the riches. It doesn't start, you know, we don't get saved and then just say, okay, I got to get through this life and then I'll get to the good stuff. The good stuff starts now. It starts today. It starts the day you accepted Christ as your Savior. That's when it starts. Now, is it as good as it's going to be? No, but it's still good. It's still something you didn't have before. And we need to understand that. So we see God's Paul's prayer, but then in 19 and 20, we see God's power. He says, I pray in 18, I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened so you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us. His power to us who believe, those that believe, according to the working of His vast strength. And He demonstrated this power. He demonstrated it in the Messiah by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavens. That is an amazing statement. You know, you doubt the power of God? Well, He demonstrated it by raising Christ from the dead. And the thing is, you know, there's a lot of disclaimers out there. There's a lot of people that don't believe that, Jesus died and rose again. But the fact remains that he did. And he revealed himself after the resurrection day to many people. He revealed himself to the ladies that went to the tomb. He revealed himself to the disciples. And then, finally, he revealed himself to over 500 people that saw him. And you know what? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he's revealed himself to you as well. Because you have something that you didn't have before. You're going to know that you're different. You're going to know that you've been changed. And it wasn't a change that you brought on yourself. It was something that happened. It was something that changed within you, and you didn't have the power to do it. It's only the power of God that can do that. You know, people say they've never seen a miracle. Well, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were part of a miracle. A miracle happened in your heart, in your life. God actually moved in to you. And now your spirit and his spirit. That's why, you know, part of that one song, "You Must Be Born Again." That's the spirit being born again. Your spirit was dead. You know, that's what separates the lost from the ones that know Jesus. Their spirit is dead. Our spirit is alive. It's been born again. And it's only in the spirit that you can commune with God. You know, there's no other way. You worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's the tremendous power of God that made your spirit come alive the very moment you placed your faith and trust in Jesus and asked God to forgive you. Your spirit came alive within you. And now you could have a relationship with God that you could never have had before. But now you can. And that's the great truth. That's why we celebrate. You know, we get so distracted by so many things in our life, and you know, we get busy, and I know I just went on I took a week off, and I was out there golfing, and I'm just hitting the ball everywhere, which not always that unusual for me, but it was pretty bad. And yeah, those that have golfed with me know. But you know, the guy I was with, Pastor Wayne, who preached here, I don't know, a month or two ago, he says, "Mike, you're not working now. You're not, relax, relax." And I mean, it took me 3 days to relax. It really did. But you know what? There came that place where, like, wow, I was kind of wound up, you know? And my game actually got better. That was a side benefit, but the point was, I relaxed. And you know, sometimes we get so caught up in everything, and you know, and you're reading the scriptures, and I mean, here Jesus is God. He's God with all the power of God, and yet he had to do what? Many times you read, he went off by himself and got away. You know, the crowds were always pressing him. He was constantly putting out energy, and he would get away often. And if the Son of God needed to relax a little, I think we do too. You know, God created the day of rest, right? And so many times we work all week to get to the weekend where we think we're going to have wet rest, and then we play harder than we worked on those 2 days. Then we go back to work thrashed. You know, you're back to work, and you're like, wow, I can't wait toward the weekend again. And, you know, and you get caught up in this thing, and the next thing you know, you're all wore out. God said, "Come to me, you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, we need to take time once in a while to get away, to just, and I don't mean necessarily leave, just take a day and stay at home and just rest. And remember what God has done in your life and in the lives of a lot of the people that you know. So we see God's, Paul's prayer, God's power, but then we got our problem. In chapter 2, we got problems, don't we? We got problems. And our problem was this. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, And you, talking to us, were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the Spirit now working in the disobedient. You know, that's our problem. You know, we had a problem. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that problem's been solved. But there could be someone here today, there could be more than one person here today, that you have a problem. You have a very serious problem. And the problem is, you're dead, and you don't even know it. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins. There is no one in this room, you know, if I was to say, raise your hand if you've never sinned, no one can raise their hand. Now, Mark thinks he's, you know, but we're praying for him. But, you know, we all know we've done a lot of stuff in our past. We've done a lot of actions. We've said a lot of things we shouldn't have said. We thought a lot of things we shouldn't have thought. We behaved in ways we're not proud of. We've all done those things. We've been disobedient. And he says, but I love this. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That was our problem. You know, we were alive physically, but we're dead spiritually. Okay? And he says, which you previously walked according to the ways of the world. And that was how I operated, and that was how you operated, according to how the world was. Oh, you need to do this or that, or this is what a good time is, or that, or this, or whatever. And you followed whatever path it was. And there's all kinds of paths out there. All kinds of ways people are seeking fulfillment. Seeking, you know, the great life that they have envisioned in their head. The things that they expect. And then there always comes a place where it comes crashing down and you realize, you know what, things aren't working out the way I thought they were going to. You know, you see those things about midlife crises, you know. You know, the 50-year-old guy goes out and buys a vet and tries to find a 20-year-old woman, you know. Those kind of things. Because he's waking up and he's realizing. He's waking up one day and he realizes, you know what? My life hasn't worked out the way I thought it was going to. And now I gotta do something. I'm going to buy this car. Or I'm going to take this trip. Or I'm going to, you know, do whatever. And whatever it is that comes in our mind that we think is going to fulfill us. And we do it according to the world. And he says, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens. You know, Satan does not have authority in heaven, but he's still got some stuff going on, don't he? He's still doing a lot of stuff in this world. It says the spirit that's now working in the disobedient. You see, we have a problem. And the problem is we are born without Christ. We are born with a sinful nature. And we are born condemned. Everyone likes to quote John 3:16, probably, you know, greatest, most quoted verse ever. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you know, we tend to forget John 3:18, which tells us we are condemned already. When you are born, you are condemned. You are already condemned and you haven't even done anything yet. Because you're born with a sin nature. You're born separated from God. You're born with a dead spirit. And that spirit works, the spirit, Satan, works in the spirit of those that are disobedient, in the bodies and souls of those that do not have Jesus. Now, I love verse 4, because that's our problem, and we're all born into that problem. I love, you know, anytime you see a verse that says, but God, that's a really good verse. And in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, you know, he just got through telling us, even in verse 3, which it says, we too also previously lived among them in our fleshly desires. So, you know, Paul's lumping himself in with everyone else, you know, carrying out the inclination of our flesh and our thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. You know, that's where we were. But then in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad of that? You know what mercy is? It's not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. not getting what you deserve. What do you deserve? Well, if you don't have Jesus, you deserve hell. It's not popular preaching today. People don't want to hear negative stuff. But there's a heaven and a hell. And hell was created for Satan and the angels that followed him out of heaven. That's why hell was created. But then man disobeyed, and you know what? Because of our disobedience, we deserve hell. And mercy is not getting what you deserve. You know, it's like go to court, and you may do some kind of crime, and you deserve 5 years in prison. And you go to the judge, and you go, have mercy on me. So he has mercy, and he gives you 1 year. Or he gives you probation, or something like that. Or he could just pardon you. And you know, that's what Christ did for us. There is an opportunity to have a pardon for your sin, and that's mercy. Because what we deserve, when you've been pardoned, you don't get what you deserve. That's mercy. And he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, aren't you glad he doesn't run out? He's rich in it. Oh, wait a minute, I already showed mercy to 3 million people. Fresh out, John. Sorry. No mercy for you. Ran out. No, he's rich in mercy. John's happy now. He's rich in mercy. He never runs out. He's an infinite God. He's got an infinite amount of mercy. That's good news, folks. That's the best news ever. He's rich in mercy. Why? Because of his great love that he has for us. Aren't you glad God loves you? And you know what's crazy? God loved you before. You know, you think, oh wow, you know, I serve him, and you know, I accepted Jesus, and I mow the church lawn, or we don't have a lawn, but I painted the walls, or I count the money, or I preach a sermon or whatever. Yeah, he should really love me. No, he loved me when I was doing all the stupid stuff I did. When I was doing all the evil stuff I did. I mean, let's just be honest. When we were doing all the evil stuff we did, God loved us. And he had already sent Christ. You know, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad you don't have to clean up to come to God? Because none of us would have got there yet. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. Because what this is, you know, we had Paul's prayer, God's power, and our problem, but we have God's provision. God's provision. God, who's rich in mercy, has great love, and he made us alive with the Messiah. He made us alive. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. You were dead in your sin, and you didn't even know it, and yet God came after you. You know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. You know, we didn't reach out to him. He chased me down. I'm not even sure I wanted to go his way. But he ran me down. He ran me down. And you know what? He ran you down one day too. If you're sitting here as a born-again believer, he ran you down. There was a time in your life when you were caught by God. He ran you down. And you're saved by grace. Because, see, grace is, you know, mercy and grace is like a coin. You know, a quarter, you know, you got the heads and the tails, right? Same coin, but different things on it. Grace and mercy are on the same coin. They're related, but it's opposite. Mercy's not getting what you deserve. Okay, you deserve hell. You're not getting it. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. In his grace, he gives us eternal life. In his grace, he adopts us into his family. And we get to inherit the riches of the king. And we don't deserve it. That'd be like, you know, you're out there groveling somewhere, you know, and you're all messed up, and some rich guy comes along and says, you know what, I'm going to take you in my home, and I'm going to legally make you mine. You know, I'm not just going to take care of you for a while. I'm actually going to adopt you, and you're going to have a claim on my inheritance. That's what God did for you. You are out there in the dirt and the filth and the wickedness, of yourself and the world. And God reached there and said, you know what? I'm going to take you and change you, and I'm going to adopt you into my family, and you're going to get a slice of the inheritance, along with about other how many million people, whoever they are, through all the years. And because he's infinite, you know, you don't have to worry about whether someone gets a bigger cut than you. Okay? It's infinite. There's enough for us all. You're saved by grace. That's God's provision. He's provided for us. And if you're sitting here today without Jesus in your heart, he has provided for you. He has already provided for you. That is why we celebrate this day. Because God has provided for us in that Christ died in your place, in my place. Paid the price for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You see, death is what we earned. Wages are something you earn. The Bible's very careful with its words. You go to work and you earn wages. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. When we committed sin in our life, we earned death. And the definition of death? Eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Death. And we earned it. But God, through his grace and mercy, he says, you know what? You don't have to go there. You can be forgiven. I am full of forgiveness, he says. And I'm not willing that any should perish, he says in his word. Not willing that any should perish. But it still comes down to, what's God doing in your heart right now? What's God doing in your heart right now? If you're sitting here today and you're without Jesus in your heart, God's calling you. He's saying, just submit yourself. Just admit, just humble yourself and admit to me that you're a sinner and that you deserve hell and ask me to forgive you. And you see, the basis of that forgiveness is what Jesus did on the cross. Because you see, God, yes, he's a grace, a God full of grace, a God full of mercy, but he's also a just God. He has a sense of justice. And if we have violated his law, there must be a payment, there must be a price paid for that sin. And that's the beauty of what he did. He came to earth in the form of a baby and grew up and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross as a perfect person that had never sinned. He was the sacrifice for your sin and mine and the sins of this world. He's the sacrifice for that. And God accepted that sacrifice. Because you see, I could sacrifice myself, but he go, you're not worthy to be a sacrifice. You've done this and this and this and this. But Jesus was worthy. He was the only one. And when he died on the cross, he paid the price for all the sins of the world. And if we come to God through Jesus, God will accept us. And if you've never done that, you need to. Because you know what? You have no guarantees. None of us do. None of us have a guarantee of tomorrow or next week or next year. If you've been putting this off, if God has pricked your heart in the past, you know, maybe you've sat and heard sermons similar to this, and you were saying, oh, I really need to take care of that, but, you know, I'm too embarrassed to go forward, or I'm too whatever, you know, whatever your excuse is. Don't let those excuses bother you. Don't let those excuses keep you from God. And you may say, well, what will someone think? Well, don't let what someone thinks keep you from God. Don't let what someone may think keep you from heaven. Don't let what someone thinks send you to hell. Think about it. It's too big of a deal. And I guarantee you, there's no one in this room that will make you feel bad if you come forward. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. The Bible says the angels rejoice every time someone comes to the Lord. The angels, they throw a party in heaven. And you know what? We'd throw a party here too. I think there's some carrot cake left. You can have a piece. God made provision for you. Will you take advantage of it? That's really the question. And we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper here in a minute. And that's the taking of the juice, which signifies Christ's blood shed for us, and the bread, which signifies his body that was broken for you. For you. And we're going to do this. And we need to remember that this Easter. That's what happened on what we call Good Friday. His body was broken. His blood was shed. And why we celebrate today? Because he rose from the dead in victory over death and sin. The power was broken on that day. And it set the example for us. That's why I read the passage in Corinthians that by one man, Adam, death came into the world. But also by one man, life. Life came as well. When Jesus rose from the dead, it paved the way for mankind to have a relationship with God. And this will be your chance. We're going to have an invitation now. And Kathy's going to play. And it's kind of a dual invitation. If you're sitting here today and you need prayer, maybe you realize today you need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and you've not ever made that move. You need to come up here and I'll pray with you. I'll explain to you the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means, good news, the good news. I'll explain it to you and you can have an opportunity. Or you may have something else that's touched your heart. Maybe nothing I even talked about, but God's telling you to come up and maybe take care of some business. That'll be your opportunity as well. And then also the Bible warns us about taking the Lord's Supper and not be clean before God. You know, God knows we're not perfect. But he wants us to be clean. And so this is also an opportunity for you. If you've got something going on, you've got some kind of sin in your life, you need to ask God to forgive you and repent of it so that you can be able to take that in a clean manner. And whether you belong to this church or not, if you're a born-again believer, you are welcome to take of the communion. So I'm going to ask, we have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to give I want to give people an opportunity to respond. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've heard the singing today. I've heard the message today, and I know that I'm being pricked. There's a pricking going on in my heart that's urging me to come forward. That's urging me to take care of some business that I know I need to take care of. And maybe I've been a little scared, or maybe I'm a little embarrassed. But I want some prayer. I want some prayer. So if there's anybody that just they've been pricked in some way and they need to make a move, but maybe there's some fear there, would you just lift your hand up? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I've kind of been really busy in the world, and yeah, I'm a believer, but I realize that I've just been doing some all kinds of stuff, and I need to relax. I need to take a break. I need to kind of get back to God a little bit. Anybody like that? I need to do these things. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you, and I ask you, Lord, that your Spirit would draw people, Lord, towards yourself. And Lord, if there's any here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would come up and talk to me, Lord, and that you would give me the words to say that they would understand. And Lord God, for those that ask for prayer on other areas, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give them light. I pray, Lord, you'd give them power as they seek to change something that you've kind of urged them to do, Lord. I pray you would show them, indeed, that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what you would have them do. And then, Lord, I pray you'd give them the courage to come up and take care of it, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that we would not squander this opportunity to make things right with you. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as Kathy plays the piano. This is an opportunity. If everyone would stand, please, and just continue to worship. And if you need help, if you want to talk, now's the time. You come on up and I'll talk with you. Father, Lord God, we come before you mindful of what this day signifies, why we remember it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made, Lord God, that we might have relationship with you. Lord God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for his death, burial, and most of all for his resurrection, Lord, that we could have life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.